Continuing in sugyas and Masachas brachas, so this sugya we just came across this past week in brachas daf lamed hey. Last week we tried to, it's perhaps a little overly ambitious. I tried to summarize one of the Rav's Yartzeit shiurim in a span of 45 minutes. This week it's going to be much more straightforward, a simple problem or issue, and four or five approaches in achronim how to deal with that issue, how to solve that issue. So the simple issue, we'll start with the Gemara Maseches Brachos, source number 4. The Gemara tells us, Tanu Rabbanu v'yasafta d'ganecha. Pasuk tells us that we're supposed to gather our grains. So matam alomer, why does the Pasuk have to tell me I have to gather my grains? Lufi shenemar, because there's another Pasuk that says, in Sefer Yoshua, lo yomush sefer Torah zemipicha, that you can never remove the Torah from your mouth. So Yachol Dvarim Kiksavan, I might think that we should take that literally, that the Torah has to constantly be on our lips. Tam lomar v'yasafta d'ganecha. That's why the Torah has to say, no, the Torah is not constantly on your lips, because there has to be time to work also. There has to be time to gather in from the field. Hanig behen minig derech eretz, that you should work for a living. You have to do derech eretz, the way of the land. You have to do whatever you need to do in order to put food on the table as well. Obviously, you learn Torah whenever you can. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel is Rabbi Shmuel's approach. So Rabbi Shmuel takes, well, I guess, what you would call the moderate approach, that you should learn Torah as much as you can, but when you need to be able to put food on the table, so you're going to have to go out and gather grain. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer, Shimon ben Yochai disagrees, and he says, no, there's always what to do in the field. Efshar Adam Charish B'Shas Charisha, you can have a person who plows when it's time to plow, V'Zareya B'Shas Ria, and plants when it's time to plant, V'Kotzer B'Shas Ktsira, and harvests when it's time to harvest, V'Dash B'Shas Disha, and threshes when it's time to thresh. It's like he's going through all Lamatas Malachas here. V'Zareya B'Shas Aruach, and winnows when it's time to winnow. So Torah Mateyela, so then what's going to be with the Torah? If a person does that, there's never going to be any time to learn. So rather, Rabbi Shimon Yochai says a different approach. When Klal Yisrael does what we're supposed to do, so then we don't have to worry. Hashem will take care. Our malacha will get done one way or another. Strangers are going to come and shepherd our sheep for us, and everything's going to be taken care of. We're not going to have to be out in the field. When we don't do what we're supposed to do, malacha nasis halidei atzman. That's when we have to work hard. Shenemar v'yasafta d'ganecha. That's v'yasafta d'ganecha. So essentially, you have fundamental machlokas. When you have two psukim that contradict each other, this is a broad shas topic. In general, you have shnei chsuvim hamachkishim ze'ezeh. So what's the rule? Well, we read every morning in Rabbi Shmuel Lomer, the Yigum Mirshatari Reshben, shnei chsuvim hamachkishim ze'ezeh, ad sheyava kasva shlishi, v'yachrei b'nehem. Look for the third pasuk, let the third pasuk come, and be machriya, and tell you which pasuk is the more authoritative one. What happens, though, when you have shnei chsuvim hamachkishim ze'ezeh, and there is no third pasuk? There's no third pasuk to tell you what to do. That's what it seems that we have over here. We have yasafta d'ganecha, we have lo yomash sefer ha-Torah azeh mipicha, it's shnei chsuvim hamachkishim ze'ezeh. So what do? So Rabbi Shmuel says, a little of each. You do Torah, you do yasafta d'ganecha, you split it, you do a little bit of each. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says, no, these are options. One option, which is the preferred option, one option, which is the secondary option, but the two don't coexist. Don't minimize the stira. They are, in fact, a stira. You're either going to be learning or you're going to be working. You're not going to be doing both. When we're doing the Ritzon Shel Makom, then we're going to be able to learn all the time, and the work will happen on its own. When we're not doing Ritzon Shel Makom, we're not doing the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we're going to be working all the time, and then, yeah, we're not going to be able to learn much, because Charish B'Shas Charish, Zareh B'Shas Zareh, there's not going to be much time left for learning. This parallels a little bit. The Gemara tells us that we have a stira in terms of how to treat the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Is the Yom Tov of Shavuos supposed to be LaHashem, or is it supposed to be LaChem? Is it supposed to be something that's for Hashem, that we spend the day in tefillah and in learning, or it's supposed to be lechem, a day of celebration, of yantav, of meals, of festivities? So the Gemara has a machlokas about that as well. Do we say that we have two psukim that contradict each other? We don't have a third pasuk to be machriya. So one opinion is that it's telling me that you do a little of each. Chatzi l'Hashem, chatzi l'chem. You do a little half l'Hashem, half l'chem. You do both. And the other opinion says, no, you have options. You make your choice, but it's going to be a choice. O kulo l'Hashem, Okulalachem, whichever one you do, but either one is a viable option. It seems to parallel, in terms of the principle of the matter, this machlokas, when you have two psukim that contradict each other. Good, so these are two approaches to life, to work and Torah, and the work-Torah balance that we all work so hard to strike. So Rabbi Shimon Yochai says, it's not doable, there's no such thing as a balance, and Rabbi Shmuel is a little more encouraging, and says that there is such a thing as a balance, and that you have to figure out the proper balance. But says the Gemara, Amar Abaye, a footnote on the Gemara almost, Abaye says, Harbe Yasuk Rabbi Shmuel va'osu biyadan. So a lot of people did like Rabbi Shmuel and it worked out really well for them. Meaning people tried the balance, they worked when they had to work and they learned whenever they had the opportunity to, and it worked out very well. Their work was okay, their learning was okay. Rabbi Shimon Yochai v'lo also biyadan. A lot of people tried to do like Rabbi Shimon Yochai and it didn't quite work out for them. They thought that they would be able to. Doesn't say which way it didn't work out for them. It could be that they made the choice to work all the time and never to learn, and that didn't work out for them. Maybe their work didn't work out so well for them because they were ignoring the learning all the time. Or it could be, more pashup shot, I think the way it's typically translated, is that they were...
Sorry, just a second.
So it doesn't say, but the more Pashut reading of the Gemara is that a lot of people did like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai v'lo also biyadan, means that they did like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in the sense that they tried to learn all day without any work, and that didn't work out so well for them. They woke up learning in Kailal at the age of whatever, in their mid-40s with 9 children and no means to support them, and then now what? Now what do I do? So they ran into trouble that way. So now the Gemara doesn't give an official psak halacha. The Gemara doesn't give an official psak halacha. It doesn't say hilchsuk Rabbi Shmuel, hilchsuk Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, but it tells us whether it was. It tells us. It sounds like Abaye is paskening like Rabbi Shmuel. Says the Gemara at the end. Amar lehu Rav l'Rabbanan. Rav used to tell the Rabbanan b'matusa minaychu b'yom nisan b'yom tishrei lo tischazu kamai. Rava also seems to take more of a Rabbi Ishmael approach. When Rava says, he used to tell the Talmidim, just do me a favor, I don't want to see you in the Beis Medrash during Bein Hazmanim. During Nisan Tishrei, that's when you should be working, because that the work you do during those times will be able to support you for the rest of the year. It's like those people who make Aliyah and come back for 2 months and work for a couple of months and manage to support themselves. So I want you to support yourself those 2 months, and that's going to help you the whole rest of the year. That's the goal. That was how Rabbi told the Talmidim. Again, sounds more like a Rabbi Shmuel approach. The Gemara never says Hilchsa, never tells us Halacha one way or the other, but it sounds much more like a Rabbi Shmuel approach. That's one Gemara. Let's take a look at another Gemara, though. Take a look at the Mishnah, really. Mishnah in Kiddushin, at the very end of Kiddushin, source number one. Kol sha'asakavim hanashim lo yisyachidim hanashim. Anyone who has business dealings with women should be careful not to be alone with women. It's a bad idea and it's aser. V'lo yilamid adam es b'no umnas hanashim. Also, a person shouldn't teach his child a profession that's going to involve being around women too much. Rav Meir amar lo yilamid adam es b'no umnas nikiya v'kala. That a person should teach his child a profession that is clean, easy. May not be the most lucrative profession in the world, but if it's clean and easy, you know, how much money you get from whatever profession you choose is all in the hands of the Ribbono Shalom anyway. So pick a profession that's an honest profession, that's it's not going to be too stressful, and train your child to do that, and then daven that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make sure that he has food to put on the table. And that's the extent of the Ishtadlus. Now, all of this entire Mishnah is making an assumption. It starts and goes on. What are the good professions? What are the bad professions? Tov shobrofim l'gehenim is the famous line that everyone tries to touch up and figure out. Kosher sheba tabachim shutfu shalamalek. You know, the butchers are all, even the most kosher butcher is a shutuf of a malek. What does that mean? Okay, so we have all of these difficult lines and all of these ideas about whether it's a good idea to be a sale or a bad idea to be a sale. Fine, but what's the assumption the entire mission is making?
You work.
is that you're working. You're teaching your child the profession, that there's an achrayus that a parent has to teach a child the profession. Not that you should say to your child, "Ah, just learn, don't worry about it, Hashem will take care of it." Until Rabbi Nuray comes up. Rabbi Nuray comes in the Mishnah, and he says about 7-8 lines into the passage, "Maniach ani kol umnus sheba'olam, ve'eni melamed es b'niya l'torah." I'm going to leave aside all other umnus, I'm only going to teach my child Torah. "Sha'adam ochel mischara b'olam azev, ha'keren kem sol olam haba." He made a simple cheshbon. I could teach my child a profession, and he will get he will make a lot of money in this world, but then when it's all over, he's not going to have anything to show for it in the next world. Or I could spend my time focusing on Talmud Torah with my child, in which case he'll enjoy the benefits of Talmud Torah in this world, and he's going to enjoy it in the next world also. So it seems like a no-brainer. B'shar kolum nesein okein, but the other professions don't work like that. K'shadam bali decholi, only they zikna, only they yisurin, veini yachal lasuk b'malachto, harei meisbrav. A person, Rachmana Litzlan, becomes sick, becomes old, and unable to perform his professional tasks, so then that's it. He can't make money anymore. There were no 401k plans, there were no pension plans. You couldn't, you were a carpenter, and your hands broke down, and you didn't have the strength to be able to schlep the wood around, to be able to, your hands were too shaky to nail the nail into the wood. So you were done. You couldn't do anything. But HaTorah ein hakein, the Torah is not that so. And is not that way. Elamishamarta mikol Rabbi Naruso, but Osenasla Achrayus v'tikva bizuknuso, Achris v'tikva bizuknuso. The Torah will give a person, will protect him from evil in his youth, and it will give him great things in his older age as well. And that's the approach of Rabbi Nurai.
But it doesn't seem to say that he's just saying, that's what I'm going to do. He doesn't seem to say that that's what.
Oh, okay.
Because Rabbi Meir says, Lolam.
Good. The language employed is definitely significant. Rabbi Meir is talking about a rule for the Jewish people. La'olam yilamid adam espano umnus nekiv akala. Rabbi Nurai says, I choose not to do that. Right? So it sounds like Rabbi Nurai may... Right. My personal practice is not to do that, but I have a cheshbon why not to do that. Now, the cheshbon that he gives seems to be true of anybody. Meaning the cheshbon that he gives doesn't seem to be something that should be limited to his own child or to his own personal chumra, because the cheshbon is that Torah is just superior to any other profession, so why not just do Torah? So it seems like, meaning even though his language suggests something personal, his argument suggests something broader. Now, there is a Gemara earlier on in Masech Kiddushin Daf Chav Tes, where the Gemara makes it very clear what a parent's obligation is toward a child. Gemara tells Tanur Rabbanan, source number 2, Ha'av chayev bibino. What does a father have to do for a child? Lamolo, give him a bris milah. Lefdoso, pidyon ben. Lalamdo Torah, you have to teach him Torah. Lasio isha, you have to marry him off. Ulolando umnus. And you have to teach him a profession. V'yesham ha'flashid v'mayim. Some say you have to teach him how to swim as well, because Rashi points out maybe he's going to go on a boat somewhere and the boat's going to drown and he's going to be in danger. So nowadays with boat travel a little less frequent, maybe we're not as concerned about going on a boat somewhere, and if your plane goes down, it's not going to matter if you know how to swim or not, probably. So maybe that chiyuv is not the same. I don't know. I didn't really look around to see if there's any discussion on that point. But Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol she'enu melamed es b'no umnus, Rabbi Yehuda issues a word of caution. Notice, no one says anything about someone who fails to do any of the others. Someone who fails to be mal their child, fails to be poda their child, fails to teach him Torah, fails to marry him up. Well, fails to marry him off, the Gemara does say, but I just cut that part off. But kol she'enu melamed es b'no umnus, anyone who doesn't teach his child the profession, melam de listus, he's teaching him to rob. So says my list of salkadesh. No, he's not. He's just teaching him to be a couch potato. He's not teaching him to rob. No, elikiilu malam de listus. You're teaching him that if you don't give him the wherewithal to be able to make a profession, so what's going to happen when he's got kids to feed and he's got to put food on the table. He's got to pay the rent. What's going to happen? He's going to resort to means that are less than kosher in order to be able to support his family, and that's very bad. You're teaching him to be a bandit. You're teaching him to be a robber. So that's very bad. So now think about this for a second. We have a Beferish Braisa that tells us that it's a chiyuv gamur for a father to teach his child an umnus. We have Rabbi Yehuda saying that not if you fail to do that, it's not only failure to do a mitzvah saseh, it's not only a bittul mitzvah, but it's ki'ilu you're teaching your child the very worst kind of behavior. But Rabbi Nurai says, I don't care, I'm going to do it anyway. Rabbi Nurai apparently was perfectly comfortable saying, yeah, but too bad, that's what I plan on doing. And not only that, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai's approach in the Gemara and Brachos suggests, okay, klape the father, maybe my father taught me numnus, but I'm allowed to say, nah, I'm not going to work. I'm gonna learn. What do you mean? A father has to teach his child an umnus because if you don't have an umnus, it's going to be listus. It's going to be stealing. Why is Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai's approach a viable approach? Shouldn't it be usser to do that? To decide that one is just going to learn? Yeah.
An umnus here is not referring to an umnus, let's say, in teaching
Torah. It doesn't seem that way because Chazal were not goreis that concept that one gets paid to teach Torah. In fact, it's usher to get paid. Not Mrs. Lavdanus, no. It's usher to be nena from your Torah. We'll see that in the Rambam, an unbelievable passage in the Rambam.
So but if he said that he wasn't going to teach him an umnus, he meant he wasn't going to supply any means for him to make a parnasa.
That's what it sounds like, yeah. That, you know, might as well focus on Torah, because then he'll get olam haba type of schar, and that's, you know, better schar anyway. That's what it sounds like. Now, there is one more Gemara to set the stage a little bit before we go into the different approaches. That's the Gemara Menachas Tav Tzadi Tas. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Notice it's Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai talking. Afilu lo kara adam el kriyash mashachros v'arvis kiyem lo yamash. What was the pasuk in the Gemara Brachos? The Gemara Brachos was trying to work on. On the one end we have Yasafta de Ganecha, the other end we have Lo Yamash Sefer HaTorah Zemipicha. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai was the one who said, well, if you want to fulfill Lo Yamash, you got to learn full time. There's no going out to the field. There's no Charisha. There's none of the Malachas. Don't do any of that. Just learn. And hopefully if you're doing the Ritzon Hashem Makom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of other people who take care of your business for you. Same Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, same Pasuk. Lo Yamash, how do you fulfill that Pasuk? Yeah, say Kriya Shema in the morning, say Kriya Shema at night, you'll be good. V'davar zeh asur lo omro b'fnei Amei Ha'aretz. But you can't say that to Amei Ha'aretz. Because Amei Ha'aretz are going to say, awesome, that's great. All you got to do is say Kriya Shema twice a day and we're good. I don't have to bother myself to wake up early for the daf yomi. I don't have to come out late on Tuesday night first year. It's fantastic. I'll just be able to say Kriya Shema. I'm great. V'rava amar mitzvah lo omro b'fnei Amei Ha'aretz. Rava says, no, we need to be encouraging of Amei Ha'aretz, and let them know that at least there's something that they could do, that they should be able to, and hopefully, maybe Rava's plan, I don't know, but maybe Rava's idea is that if you get people learning a little bit, it very often leads to more learning. Meaning, you know, there's a lot of people when the Daf Yomi started the cycle, and everyone's getting excited about learning Daf Yomi, so those people who don't themselves like to learn Daf Yomi like to criticize the entire concept of Lima Daf Yomi. Perhaps it's a you know, a way to justify in their own minds that, you know, why they don't do a certain area of learning. So, Daf Yomi, is that appropriate? Should Balabatim be learning Daf Yomi? They should be learning you know, Chumash Rashi. They should be learning Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. As if everyone canceled their Chumash Rashi and Kitzur Shulchan Aruch Siddarim so that they could learn Daf Yomi. But that's not the way it works. We know how it works. When you're into learning, when you're in a regimented program of learning, so then all of a sudden you find that you have 5 minutes here, you pick up a sefer, you have 5 minutes there. When you're not into learning, you don't pick up the sefer. Rava might be thinking, get them in the door, just put their foot in the door. Once you get them in the door, then it's going to change everything. Then the rest of the learning is much more likely to come as a result of that. Perhaps a humble suggestion of what Rava might mean. But either way, it is this same Rabbi Shimon Yochai, but it gets even stranger. The same Rabbi Shimon Yochai says Lo Yamash means you have to learn full time constantly. Tells us Kriya Shema Shachas Varvis. Says Gemara Menachos further. Shol ben Dama ben Achoso shel Rabbi Yishmael. That's Rabbi Yishmael. Oh, good. Rabbi Yishmael appears in this Gemara also. So they ask Rabbi Yishmael. Kegon ani shelamadati kol haTorah kula. Ma'u lilmar chachmas Yivanis. Says me, I've learned kol haTorah kula already. Can I do other things now? Can I engage in other areas of study? So Karalav Amikra Azer. Rabbi Shmuel said, well, Lo Yamash Sefer HaTorah Azer Mipicha. You know, the Pasuk says Lo Yamash. Again, that same Pasuk. Lo Yamash Sefer HaTorah Azer Mipicha. V'gisav Yom V'layli. You need to be learning constantly. So Tzei B'dok. Shah Sheina Lo Min HaYom V'Lo Min HaLayla. V'Lamod B'Chachmas Yivanis. If you can find a time that's neither day nor night, good, go ahead. Then learn Chachmas Yivanis. In Brachas, Rabbi Shmuel is the one who told us, go out to the field, go work, go ve'asafta deganecha. You don't have to be learning all the time. You have to be making a living also. Now Rabbi Shmuel is saying, when could you do something other than learning? When you find the time. That's neither day nor night, which is obviously a sarcastic comment. There's no such thing as time. He doesn't mean ben hashmashos. There's no time that's neither day.
That's not a parnasa. You
It's not a parnasa, true, it's another area of chachma, but at the same time, he seems to be assuming that the pshat and pasuk of the Gisba Yom V'Layla is constant, is Yom V'Layla, is at all times.
But it is possible that he's saying that for this particular instance he's saying, if you're not going to be spending your time working and you just want to learn some other chachma, then you can't. Then
good.
Is the one
so, right. So, Pasha Pshat, Rabbi Shmuel is an easy one to is a much easier steer to deal with. Rabbi Shmuel holds there's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. When's the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? Every free second you have. Now, when you need to be making a living, that's not a free second. That's a time where you need to be making a living, where you need to be doing something. And it's an achrayus that a person has. Do you have an achrayus to know chachmas yivanis? You don't have to know chachmas yivanis. So that's not a free... So those are still free seconds. The time you would spend learning chachmas yivanis is free time. All free time. Bein b'yom, bein b'layla, needs to be spent in Talmud Torah. The Rav Shimon ben Yochai stira is a bit of a more difficult stira. I remember when I was in Keren B'Yavne, one of my friends had asked one of the older Bachram in the yeshiva for a chavrusa, one of the more exceptional Bachram in the yeshiva. And a lot of people were after this guy to get a chavrusa with him. So the guy said, "B'shah she'ni lo yom v'lo laila, I'll be able to learn with you. If you could find the time, it's not yom, not laila, I'll be able to learn with you." So this friend of mine didn't give up easily. The week that they changed the clock, where they gave, we got an extra hour. He said, "You got an hour? Let's go. You got this. This doesn't go on the cheshbon a night, nor the cheshbon a day. This is the I don't know how he gave it back to him when they changed the clock back, but that was his cheshbon. So, yeah.
Maybe this is overanalyzing what's meant as homily, but as far as the steering of Shem Vayechai in the Gemara Brachos, he's not saying if you really read the words literally. The chisaron, if a person is working and trying to learn, is not in the person's learning. He's not saying the person not yodzik. He says Torah ma te'aleo. Because the quality of the Torah that is being learned is suffering. But it doesn't say on the individual, this person's not going to have his kiyum.
Meaning you're suggesting that as an individual, in terms of what your mitzvah is, your mitzvah is kriya shma shachris v'arvis. If everyone does that, then we're not going to have Talmidei Chachamim.
Right.
Okay, could very well be. Torah Matei Aleha is a din in the Torah, not a din in the individual.
At least to answer the stira.
But is that a stira in the psukim then? Meaning it's saying the whole kasha is not a kasha to begin with, because V'yasavta D'Ganecha is not a personal... It is a personal chiyuv. V'yasavta D'Ganecha is a personal chiyuv. Lo Yom Shevar Torah Zemipicha is a personal chiyuv. But you should... No, it doesn't sound that way, because he's trying to explain Lo Yomish.
But
if lo yamish still means only kriyash mashach was varvis,
lo yamish is talking about the person. It's not talking about
right,
the
but that's the kasha the Gemara is dealing with. Right, the Gemara is dealing with the kasha of the steer in those two psukim. I mean, I hear the diuk. It's Torah Matei Aleh. It's not, you know,
Adam,
right. What's going to be with this guy? This guy is going to be Nebuchadnezzar Aretz, right? It doesn't say that. It says Torah Matei Aleh. It's a very very fine diuk, but I'm not sure how, you know. The direct question is the steer in the psukim, so I'm not sure if it works 100%. So five basic approaches that I found in Achronim. I don't know if we'll get through all five, but we'll start. Marsha in Brachos, source number 7. Nir lefarish devada yesh tzadikim gemurim demukuyim buhu shem lechas atzman nasal yidei acherim. Rav Shimon Ben Yochai's approach of having people learn full time and their melech will get taken care of, it works for certain tzadikim. Ella de ma'atim hema, but it works for a small number of people. The Kamar of Shumar Yechai Gufei, Perak Lulav Arava. It was Rabbi Shumar Yechai himself who said, Re'isi b'nei aliyah ve'heimu atim, im elef heim ani b'ni mehem, right? That was his famous line. If there were 1,000 b'nei aliyah, then me and my son are amongst them. And he keeps on going down, he says, im shnayim heim, ani b'ni heim. And if there are only 2 b'nei aliyah, then it's me and my son. We're the only ones that are real, that are really b'nei aliyah. Now, Rabbi Shumar Chai is observing a reality, meaning, Lo Yomish is a stira to V'yasavta D'Ganecha. It's a stira. What does he do when he have Sheikh Summa Machrish Mzazah and there is no Kasav Ashlishi Machriya Beinayim? You have to say that these are two paths, these are two options. So either your life is going to be one of V'yasavta D'Ganecha, and guess what? You won't be a Talmud Chacham. Or your life is going to be one of Lo Yomish, and you're going to be a Gevaldika Talmud Chacham. And But when can you rely on Lo Yamush? When you can trust that your malach is going to be nasali de'acherim. When you can trust that you're going to be someone who's zoche, that HaKadosh Baruch is going to take care that the malach is nasal al yidei acherim. I mentioned Daf Yomish here that someone sent me a video of the Rosh Yeshiva of Keren Biavna Zichron Levracha, of Chaim Yaakov Goldberg, going to visit the Lubavitcher Rebbe and asking Eitza from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. So you hear the conversation, it's unbelievable. He says to the Rebbe, my son is learning in Kollel in Panovich, and he's Baruch Hashem being Matzliach, but he's in his 30s already, he has five little kids. So and Baruch Hashem, my yeshiva is growing very nicely. And you know, we could probably find him a job in the yeshiva if we needed to. So should he leave the Kollel and should go learn in the yeshiva? So he said, Rebbe asked me, how's he making parnasa? How's he supporting the kids? So Golda said, I'm supporting him. The yeshiva's doing okay. I'm able to support him. But my wife is very nervous, about what's going to be with the future. So he said, Malachto nasali de'acherim is a bracha, the Rebbe said to him, is a bracha that the Gemara gives for people who are also Ritzono Shel Makom. You're the acherim that are providing his malacha. Let him keep on learning, and that's your job. Your job, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is providing for him. Through you, you're the one that's doing the providing. Okay, there is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's vehicle for providing. But anyway, says the Marsha, so this works for a very small number of people who could say, Tzadik Gomorani. But most people, if they say that, if they try to suggest that about themselves, Shema Hutoa Veino Tzadik Gomor. And that's why the Gemara was very careful. Abaye didn't say Halacha Krabi Shmuel, Halacha Krabi Shmuel Baruchai. There's no Halacha. Harbei Asu Krabi Shmuel. A lot of people try to do like Rabbi Yishmael, va'alsa biyadan. Because for the masses, Rabbi Yishmael's approach is the best. To try to balance the two is the best idea. Rov olam einu tzadikim gemurim, v'harbei asu krav shirim reichai, v'lo alsa biyadan. Because rov olam einu tzadikim gemurim, a lot of people tried to like Rabbi Yishmael reichai, it didn't work out so well, because yafet al matarim derech eretz, all the other wonderful Mamari Chazal about the importance of working together with earning a living. Now, that would explain why the Gemara in Kiddushin says that a father has a responsibility to teach a child the trade, because you have to assume that your child is amongst the rove. Very similar, by the way, to what the Mishnah in Sota says. The Mishnah in Sota says that Kol HaMelamed is Bito Torah Kilo Melamed Tiflus, that a person shouldn't teach their daughter Torah, and yet we find that there are certain very great people who did teach their daughter Torah. And that's what the Prisha writes on the bottom of the Torah, that it depends who your daughter is. That for some of them it's going to be Kilo Melamed Tiflus, for others it's going to be a very great Zchus. The Gemara itself says that the Torah, that's why it appears in Sota, because the Mishnah says that someone, if the woman learns Torah, the Zchus of Torah will protect her from the Mei Sota. So that's the issue over there. So the no one ever denies the protective power of Torah. The question is it a wise thing to teach your daughter? So the idea over there is a very similar idea. It's not necessarily for everybody, but for those who it is for, it's a gewaltige thing. It could be a very, very wonderful thing. So that's the approach of the Marsha. Now, this would also explain the machlokas in the Mishnah at the end of Kiddushin. At the end of Kiddushin, it's not really a machlokas. Rav Meir was saying what a person has a chiyuv to do. Yilamid adam espino umnas nekiya v'kala. You have to teach your child the profession. And the whole discussion of the Mishnah makes the assumption, of course, you're teaching your child the profession. Rabbi Nurai says, I teach my child Torah. Not because my child, I know my child, and I know my child is destined for greatness, and therefore I'm willing to teach my child Torah. So it would explain all of the different Gemaras. In fact, in Shulchan Aruch, if you look in Source Amrein, Shulchan Aruch and Kufnun Vav, Shulchan Aruch goes through from the beginning of Aruch Chaim, the Seder Ayom, what a person is supposed to do each day. So after going through davening, finishing tefillah, Shulchan Aruch says, Achar kach, yelech lasakav. After you daven, you go to work. The cult Torah Sheni Mamalacha Sofa Betela Vagarera Savam. Kiaoni Yavi Renu Al Das Kono. Umikalmakum Lo Yasam Lachu Ikra La Rai Vitorasso Kava Vizavizay Sky and Biado. Visavite Mamuna, etc. Shulchan Aruch says, you go to work, you have to make sure that you realize that the work is Arai, the Torah is Keva, the Torah is the primary part of your life, no matter what the hours might be in terms of the relationship between Torah learning and working, but Torah is always Keva. Be honest in business, and everything will work out. Says the Bir Halacha, but you should know that there are certain people, avala nashim yichidim, yuchal imatze b'chal eisbof and zeh, are able to find at all times that their parnas will be taken care of, v'akarosh baruch hu bevada yamtzi lem parnasasam, and they're going to be able to learn Hashem will take care of their parnasa, like the Rambam writes in Shmita v'Yovlos, lo shevet levi b'lvad, it's not only shevet levi, but anyone who's inspired by Torah and is willing to put in that time and willing to do it, can theoretically do it, but again, it's for yichidim who are ready for it. Now, even within the world of yichidim, none of these sources suggest that the yachid should go and say, look, I'm from the yichidei segula, I'm supposed to be learning all day, and therefore you who are working have a responsibility to support me, because I'm going to be the one that's learning, so you need me to learn, you need my zechuyos, and Klal Yisrael needs me to be doing what I'm doing, therefore you should support me so I can live berevach. Now, what does the Gemara say? That malachta nasas al yidei acherim. Not that you could demand that your malacha be done al yidei acherim. It requires a great deal, and maybe one of the qualifications to be one of these yichidei skula is to be someone who's willing to take that risk, to be someone who's willing to be moser nefesh a little bit. Who, as one of my rebbeim once advised me when I was much younger, so you starve a little bit for a few years. I don't know, my wife wasn't so comfortable with that advice that you know, we'd starve for a few years. But you know, that's the type of leap that a person has to take, and the Rambam makes a very big deal about that. The Rambam in his Perush Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos, you know, you see this long passage in source number 11, tries to emphasize and overemphasize how we have no mesorah whatsoever to go to other people and tell them that it's their responsibility to support us, even if we're going to be learning full time. He says people who are suggesting such a hashkafa, it is absolute shtus. That there's a responsibility to support talmidei chachamim, to give your tzedakah money to talmidei chachamim to learn. Calls that taus. Ein b'Torah mashi ya'ame soso. There's nothing in Torah that would back up such a claim, says the Rambam. V'lo regel she'ishan ale b'shem panim. It doesn't have a leg to stand on, such an approach. L'fi sha'anu im na'ayim b'toldos hachamim zichram levracha. When you look at the great chacham of our history, lo nimtza etzlam lo atal eschovos al b'nei adam, v'lo kibitz mamon yeshivos hamrammos v'anechbados. You don't find them making monetary demands of other people. You don't find them saying that you need to support the great yeshivos, v'lo l'rashi galuyos, v'lo l'dayanin, v'lo l'marbitzei Torah, v'lo l'echad remun, v'lo l'shara anashim. Ela nimtza ki loseim kulan yesh bem ani b'tachlis, v'ashir rav amamun b'tachlis, v'chalila l'ashem sh'omer sh'heim lo hayu gom l'chasev nosei tzedakah. The Rambam says, I'll prove it to you. What are we going to say about, what do we know about the Jewish people? Jewish people are a very generous people. And yet you look through Chazal, and some of the G'dolei Tanaim v'Amoraim were extraordinarily wealthy, and some were unbelievably poor. How could that have happened? How could there be a Hillel who makes a tropic b'chol yom and doesn't have admission to get into the Beis Medrash? No one at the Beis Medrash door said, hey, Hillel's the best guy in this Beis Medrash. I'll pay his tuition for today. No one, Klal Yisrael, Rachmanim, B'nai Rachmanim, Gomlei Chasadim, no one who's willing to step up and pay Hillel's tuition for him? Is that crazy? The Rambam says that's impossible. Of course they were willing to. Hillel wasn't willing to take it. Because that's not the derech of Chachamim. You're not supposed to take anything from your Torah. So Hillel HaZaken wouldn't take it. So he would go chop wood and make whatever he could. Rabbi Chanina Mendoza, Kol Korei Olav, says the Rambam, Kol Olam Kol Oleinu Nizan El B'Shvil Chananya B'ni. V'Chananya B'ni, Dayu Kav Churuv in Me'er of Shabbos, Le'er of Shabbos, V'lo B'Kesh M'Bnei Adam. The whole world was surviving on his Zuchus. And what did he live on? A little bit of boxer. Why could no one could buy him, you know, sushi platter once in a while, you know, could buy him some decent food. He had to live on a little bit of bakser every single week. He didn't want it. He couldn't. He wouldn't take it. Rav Yosef, Rambam goes on to say, Hayinose Eitzim, Va'omer Gdol Melacha Shemechamemes Esba'aleha, and on and on. And then the Rambam says, and let me tell you the Gemaras that people like to quote to show that a Talmud Chacham could demand support. Gemara, we learned in Brachos recently, where the Gemara says that HaRotz Lehanos Yehana Ke'elisha V'shalo Lehanos Al Yehana Ke'Shmuel. Someone wants to get Hanoah from this world, so from other people, you could do like Elisha's minhag, which was when he would go to different people, he would stay in their homes, they would provide him with room and board, and he took from other people. And that's fine, it's okay to do that. And if you want to be like Shmuel, who never took anything from anybody, that's fine too. Says the Rambam, complete misunderstanding. Elisha didn't go begging for money. It meant that when he was going through town, he would take hospitality. They would put them up. They would they would put him up in a room. They would give him a place to stay. She'yarchu, that he would be an oreach in their house. He would be mekabel the kibud of being a guest when he was traveling. But never that he would say, "You owe me money because I'm a great Talmud Chacham or I'm a Navi." Rambam says we don't have any such Masara. And then he tells the story of Rabbi Tarfon. Rambam tells the story, the Gemara tells, that there was a man who had a vineyard, and every day there would be Ganavim that would come and would rob his vineyard clean. So he would find that he had less and less grapes every single day in his vineyard, and he was never able to catch the Ganav. One day, the man went and was Botzer Anavim, he went to take his grapes, and some grapes fell on the floor, gargarim, minateinim, batsmukim, and the halacha is that you're allowed to, that's hefker, you're allowed to go pick up the little pieces that fall on the floor. So Rabbi Tarfon was walking, happened to be that one day, first time ever, happened to be in that vineyard, in that orchard, whatever it was, and he took the few little things that were hefker, that were on the floor. The Bala Kerem saw someone picking things off the floor, assumed, this is the Ganav, this is the guy who's been stealing from me all this time. He jumps on him and he puts a bag over him, throws his bag over his shoulder and goes down to the river, and he's ready to throw the guy in the river. He's the guy that he has trapped in his bag. Rabbi Tarfon doesn't know what he's going to do, so he screams out, "Oy lo le Tarfon shezeh horgo." Woe unto Tarfon that this guy is killing him. So the guy hears, uh-oh, I got Rabbi Tarfon in this bag. So he drops the bag and runs away because he was terrified that he had Rabbi Tarfon in that bag. Rabbi Tarfon realized, why did he spare him? Because he was Rabbi Tarfon, because of his Torah. That he saved him because of his Torah. And Rabbi Tarfon said, I'm a rich man. I could have said, I'll give you $1 million. I'll give you, you know, he could have offered anything. And the rest of his life, Rabbi Tarfon was upset about the fact that he used his Torah to be able to benefit from his Torah. So the Rambam is very, very, very strong about, even if one is one of those Yechidei Skula, never to assume that it gives one the right to make demands of other people. Now, if other people want to provide and other people are going to provide, well, many of the Gedolei Tanaim V'Amoraim wouldn't take it. But, you know, there's probably no Isser to say, if someone says, I want to support you in your learning, that's one thing. But to make demands that you must, and that we're going to use communal funds for that, the Rambam said that that's not. Now, obviously, each generation has to deal with the problems of their generation. Rav Aaron Cutler's entire, you know, basis of the Lakewood Yeshiva and of the idea of bringing Kollel to America, obviously seems to fly in the face of the Rambam, but he held a Tzarech Shah, that there weren't going to be any Talmidei Chacham anymore. If we don't have people dedicated to full-time Torah Mateala, like your Diuk before, that there weren't too many Hillels running around who were willing to say, I'm not going to, you know, I'll starve and I'll hang out on the window on the top of the Beis Medrash and wait for the snow to fall down on me. So, you know, the Chacham of each generation have to figure it out. But certainly as an ideal, in terms of Hashkafic ideal, the Rambam could not be more clear. Now, that's not the only approach in how to deal with these stiras. Rav Moshe, there, you know, we're not going to get through all five, but maybe one or two more. Rav Moshe has a very well-known tshuva about life insurance. Should a person buy an insurance policy, is that considered a lack of bitachon? So most of us know the first part of the tshuva, where Rav Moshe says, no, it's not a lack of bitachon, it's an investment. You know, it's like an investment like any other investment. Sometimes it'll go well, sometimes it won't go well. In this way, you know, it's a reasonable business decision to have an insurance policy, and it's the right thing to do. You shouldn't be somech on an ace. A person has to work for a living, and that's how he gets into working for a living. That you shouldn't be somech on an ace, so that's why you work for a living. Even Leah, when the Mishnah asked the Kasha on Leah about how she could daven that the child would be a female, if it's already decided that the child is a male, even someone like Leah, who had nisim happen to the Avos Animos, b'chol yom v'yom, still wasn't willing to be somech on an ace. You're not allowed to daven for an ace. You're not allowed to daven that an ace should happen. So in that context, he gets into, Rav Moshe gets into the issue of Parnassa and the issue of Rav Nuray. What was Rav Nuray's idea? Wasn't he being Samech al Anes when he's teaching his son only Torah? So says Rav Moshe, Va'af l'ru Rav Nuray shom shomer maniach ni kolumna shabolam v'nim lamidus b'ni ala Torah shemash mashenu mechayiv la'av lamidus b'ni umnus nami pashat shekam hu moda she'in l'smoch al Anes. It's obvious Rav Nuray would say you can't rely on him in Anes. Aval sover shekivin sherov bnei adam bekat nusam I efshar lehem lelami Torah karai im yilmedu oz gam umnus. But Rabbi Nuray said, when a child is young, so how much could he retain in his brain already? If he's a dual curriculum, it's going to be impossible. It's so ambitious. How's a child going to be able to manage that? So you have to teach him only Torah, because if you're teaching him in umnus, it's not going to work. After zmanim, but Torah chivul avul amin ispino Torah. Now, what do I know? I know that it says in the Torah, l'matem ispinechem, that you have a chiv to teach your child Torah. So it has to be that you don't have to teach him a profession when he's very young, because then you can't fulfill the Madam Espenechem. You're not going to be able to teach him Torah. Does that mean that you shouldn't work for a living? When he gets a little bit older and he needs Parnasa, he should go out and try to find Parnasa. What kind of Parnasa? Not one that involves much schooling. Blue collar work, not white collar work. So let him find a job that will involve not too much preparation. But no one would ever say not to work when you're an adult already. You can't just wait for the miracle to happen of support coming your way. So you need to work. And he says, like the Rambam Paskins. But Rabbi Nuray held that when the child is young, you're never going to be able to melamed Torah in that way. Similarly, the Rav Moshe writes, not exactly the same, but a similar approach. He says, "Va'od nir b'tam Rav Nuray, shekivin shemi lamid l'bno gam umnus lo yuchel lamid koroi pechrech shegzeras b'zeas apecha v'chein v'arosi asmasi v'kapachni asparnasasi sham Rav Shemulaz b'nasisin I efshar shiyu al hashanim debi alduso." He says the gzeira that was made against Adam Arishon, that b'zeas apecha, that we're going to have to work for a living, it has to be that it doesn't yet apply when one is young. How do I know that? Well, when does the gzera not apply? When is there not a gzera min hashamayim that I have to work if I want to make it? Well, I know that it doesn't apply on Shabbos, because there's a mitzvah to keep Shabbos. So there's no way that a Kodesh Baruch Hu would make it that the only way I'd be able to survive is by working on Shabbos. Because how could he do that to me? He can't tell me to keep Shabbos and then tell me that the only way I'm going to survive is if I work on Shabbos. It doesn't apply in Yantif. Right? Obviously, you're going to be able to make a parnasa because it's a stira. It's a stira to keep Yantif and then have to work on Yantif. It's impossible. So it can't be that you need to work on Yantif to make a parnasa. And says Rav Moshe, this is very important for our generation. It doesn't apply during times of davening. A person can't say, well, I have to leave davening early all the time because I have to make a parnasa and I have to catch that trade. It can't be. It can't be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to set you up in such a way where you're not going to be able to daven because you need to make a parnasa. No, the parnasa is going to be there if you spend time outside of the chiyuvim that you have, like davening, like Shabbos, like Yantif, making a parnasa. That's when the parnasa is going to be there. So similarly, says Rav Moshe, if it's impossible to teach a child a dual curriculum, if it's impossible to teach a child to learn Torah at a time where he's learning something else as well, so if it's impossible, then it's impossible. Then it must be that it's not part of the gzeira of b'zeas apecha. That's Rav Moshe's approach. I'll just mention, we have 1 minute left, I'll just mention quickly the Brisker Rav. Can't mention everything he says, but the Brisker Rav points out something that none of the others pointed out. There's a Beferish Gemara that tells us in Erev and Daf Yud Gimel that Rabbi Meir had another name. Rabbi Meir's other name was Rabbi Nuhurai. Now you look back at that Mishnah in Kiddushin and it makes less sense than it did before. Rabbi Meir says, Lo l'milamed espno, umnus nikia v'kala, teach your child a good, easy profession. Rabbi Nuhurai, who is Rabbi Meir, says, Eini milamed espni, ela Torah, that I would only teach my child Torah. So very, very strange that you would have such a thing, that he could say such a thing like that. So the Brisker Rav says, similar to what we said from the Marshal before, that maybe there's a difference between the masses and Yechidim. Rabbi Meir at the beginning was speaking to the masses. Rabbi Nuhurai, in his other voice, as Rabbi Nuhurai, he was the same person, but speaking to his own child and speaking to his own situation. Okay, stop there.
through.